Hallelujah. Glory. Everybody should be smiling now. Glory. Whew. Telling you, God is good all the time, even when we're boneheads. He's still good. His goodness doesn't change. Amen. And how was everyone today? There it is, Johnny boy. Turn to your neighbor on the right and bless him. Bless him. Bless him. Bless him with health. Pray for them. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. And turn to your neighbor on the left. Bless them. Come on, bless them. Some of you might need to slap and bless them first. Hallelujah. Glory. You know, there is a spiritual law. You can't outrun, you can't dig under, and you can't jump over. It's called what you sow is what you reap. That's it. Done, over with. It happens to the heathen and the believers. Amen. That spiritual law goes for every single person in this world. I was talking to somebody yesterday. He says, I'm not very religious. I said, that's good. He was trying to tell me he doesn't really spiritual. I said, that's okay. There's a law that has nothing to do with religion. It has to do with every human being on the planet. What you sow is what you reap. Bottom line. That's that. It doesn't matter whether you believe or you disbelieve. Everybody reaps what he sows. No one outruns it. Nobody. Nobody. And he who sows to the flesh will reap corruption. How many of y'all disobedience is sowing to the flesh? Rebellion is sowing to the flesh. That's why the end of those who live according to the ways of the world will die. But he who sows to the Spirit reaps life, peace. Hallelujah. Joy. See, do you remember that testimony I shared last week, or whatever it was? The one where the atheist guy, there was that atheist guy, you know, and so he was thinking, well, you know, I haven't made a choice yet, so I'm basically on the fence, yeah. And what he had a dream or something or whatever, and so the devil approached him and said, so, you ready? Come on. Because what do you mean? Dude says, I haven't made a choice yet. I'm on the fence. The devil says, I own the fence. Snap. I own the fence. See, there's no gray areas. None. What you sow is what you reap. When you understand that, it's called dimensional thinking. I'm going to say that again because that's what we're going to talk about. Dimensional. I woke up this morning. I almost got that question out. What do you want to talk about? I woke up this morning. I heard dimensional thinking. I said, okay. And it's not something that we don't know, but we need to be reminded. Because if we're not thinking dimensionally, we're L-O-S-T, living outside of salvation's truth, lost. You know, we got to ask ourselves, if the Lord were to show up right now, this moment, could we stand and say we've done all we could? I don't think any of us could really do that. Thank God for his mercy. But can we stand and say, I've done what you asked me? Has my heart been set to please you? That's what he's looking for. A heart that's set to please him. When your heart is set to please him, that's dimensional thinking. If your heart is not set to please him, that's not, you're lost. But I accepted Jesus, you're lost. Because when you accept Jesus, we said that we would follow him. That's why the Lord says, deny yourself, pick up the cross or your sword and battle and fight and follow me. There is a big difference. Let me tell you, many people are going to be really shocked when they didn't make it. But Lord, you knew my heart. Yes, I did, but you didn't. And I kept trying to tell you about your heart. I kept trying to tell you where you compromised. See, compromising doesn't get you home. It brings you to hell because that's where all compromisers are. There is no compromise. Jesus did not compromise. The word says, imitate God. Amen. Not that we are gods, but we live a higher order We're not from this world. We were sent into this world to rescue many, to get out of this world so we can go home. But too many are getting caught up in this world and being brought into bondage, and their minds are still on the world, and they still think carnally instead of dimensionally. When we come to the arena where He is the source and everything is a resource, that's dimensional thinking. Every blessing that comes, anything that comes your way, you always look beyond the person that brought it or how it happened and go to the source and thank Him, because He's the one that did it. The Lord is the one that sends our children. The Lord is the one that blesses us. He's the one that prospers us. Now, if the fruit of something is evil, hello, then it wasn't God. Amen. If it's going to cause someone to stumble, oh, the Lord blessed me with a car. I got to pay $6,000 a month in payments. That's not a blessing. God doesn't bless us with bondage. Amen. In the book of Revelation in chapter 1, dimensional thinking. Hallelujah. In verse 4, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from Him who is. Come on, read it with me. Grace to you and peace from Him who is, which means present, who was, which is past, and who is to come, which is future, omnipresent. And from the seven spirits who are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. And He has made us what? Kings, which means warriors, and priests. Those are ones who minister to the Lord. So unless you fulfill priesthood, you can't fulfill kingship. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And behold, He is coming with clouds, and every eye will see Him, even they who pierced Him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of Him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the what? The beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. In other words, I am not only present, but I am past and I am future. That's three-dimensional positions. You know, there's something pretty amazing because we are, that is a constant. You and I are in present, right? But we have a past, don't we? And we also have a future. That's a constant. It doesn't change. It never changes. But one day this time realm was going to run out, isn't it? So right now we are in present, but we have a past. And in that past, those are things that we have a memory of things of the past, things that we learned from, things that we learned to do and not to do. Amen. Things that we need to forgive and forget and move forward. But that's the important thing, is because it is a constant. It stays constant. Even though you step into the future every second, you're stepping into the future, there's still a past, a present, and a future. It is constant. It doesn't change. Never changes. The important thing is, if you are thinking, if your dimensional thinking says, I'm living from the future, not from the past. So if I live from the future into the present, I'm thinking dimensionally. Even though I know that I have a past, but I'm utilizing that past not to bring guilt or condemnation or resentment or bitterness, but to utilize it as a comparison so I can discern those things that please God and displease God. If I'm thinking that way, I'm dimensionally thinking. See, there's an area where we've got it. It's a constant. It's not an occasional thing. It is constant. We must constantly think dimensionally so that we see things through the present, so that we know what we're being influenced with. You know, people blame people, but don't, if they're not looking dimensionally, they don't realize that it's the person that is being used by the unseen realm. And there is a responsibility that a person has not to be used by the unseen realm. Does everybody understand that? That's called maturity. Hello? That's called what? Maturity. So, and it's not maturity according to common sense in the world. It's maturity in the spirit. So that we know we are seeing. If we're thinking dimensionally, we're always looking at motive, intent, influence. Motive, intent, influence. Motive, intent, influence. Has everybody got that? We're always thinking that. It's always there. There's always a self-examination. That's called reality. This is reality. In 3 John, Jesus walked in both dimensions. See, we walk in both dimensions in the arena of physical and spiritual. Amen? So we are citizens of not only a country, but a kingdom. And our kingdom citizenship supersedes our country citizenship. In John 3 and verse 2, would you read it with me? Beloved, I pray that you may what? Prosper in all things. How many say all things?
All things.
That you may prosper in all things and be in what? In health, just as your soul prospers. Now your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions, and your imagination. So my mind is associated with thoughts. My will is associated with choice. My emotions are associated with feelings. And my imaginations are the things that I perceive. Do I need to repeat that? My mind is associated with thoughts. My will is associated with choice. My emotions are associated with feelings. And my imagination is perception. Perception. In verse 3 it says, for I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the what? The truth. Truth. Truth is dimensional thinking. Because these are things that are eternally true. Not only that, in this realm we are honest. That's called truth. See, there is a truth of belief, but there's a truth of honesty where you are honest not only with yourself, but with mankind, but also with God. If you can't be honest with you, you can't be honest with Him. And if you're not thinking that way of being honest, then you're not dimensionally thinking. Amen? For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you what? Walk in the truth. That's called walking in the Spirit. When you're walking in the Spirit, that's dimensional thinking. A lot of people say, yeah, I'm walking in the Spirit, but they're not dimensional thinking. That's really not that. When you're really in the Spirit and you're walking in the Spirit, you're living in the Spirit, you are dimensional thinking. Dimensional thinking is associated with seeing things before you do them, thinking things before you release them. That's called seeing it through and hearing it through. Asking yourself, who told you that and where did you come from? If I do this, what's the ripple effect of this? Is my purpose to exalt myself or expand the kingdom? See, when there's kingdom first in everything you do, that's dimensional thinking. Okay, I'm going to buy a car. How's it going to help the kingdom? Okay, I'm going to do this job. How's it going to help the kingdom? Okay, I'm going to go here. How can it help the kingdom? Does everybody understand that? That's called dimensional thinking because you are kingdom bound. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in dimensional thinking. It says, when the soul prospers, your mind, your will, your emotions, and imagination, it increases by exchanging physical living with spiritual living, carnal thinking with dimensional thinking, by attaining dimensional truth which the mind of Christ provides. For example, three kingdoms. We think three kingdoms. What's the three kingdoms? Kingdom of self, which is this realm, the kingdom of Satan, and the kingdom of God. Amen? Which one, whatever one I'm under and serving will deny the other one. Three kingdoms. The kingdom of self, kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of God. We think dimensional thinking in the area of three also. There's present, past, and future. There's living in the physical, there's hell, and there's heaven. There's good, there's evil, and there's righteousness. We think dimensionally because we dimensionally think of three. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Is everybody okay? In Romans 7. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 12. Therefore, the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not, but sin that it might appear sin. So in other words, the law was used, the Ten Commandments was used to expose sin. But sin that it might appear sin was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing I do not understand, and what I will to do that I do not practice, but what I hate that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. So we're either agreeing with sin or disagreeing with sin, the presence of evil. But if you're not dimensionally thinking that way, then you're carnally thinking, because you're always wanting to know, what is my influence? For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but to how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find in the law that evil is present with me. I find that evil is present with me, and that is your flesh. The only day that you're going to get rid of that evil is the day your spirit and soul go home. Other than that, we must take dominion over it every day. In verse 21, I find then a law that is evil is present with me, and the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. That word mind also means spirit or soul, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? He's talking about his flesh, which is the old man. It's always interfering with him. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, with my spirit, with my soul, my will, my choices, my emotions, my feelings, and my imaginations, I'm going to turn those over to the Lord, that I may serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Again, the commandments were exposing sinful nature. The mind is also known as the new spirit, the mind of Christ, who served the law of God. The flesh does serve the law of sin. This is dimensional thinking to discern the difference between good, evil, and righteousness. What is the fruit of what I'm doing? Again, without the mind of Christ, you cannot have dominion. Without the presence of Christ, you cannot have dominion. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, dimensional thinking. Again in verse 9, would you read it with me? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. How many of y'all know that we need to have dimensional thinking in these days? This is no longer about religion. Because, see, people practice religion so much that they weren't thinking dimensionally. There's a lot of people who can quote Scripture, but not walk it. When you think dimensionally, you live it, you walk it. In verse 9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who what? Who love him, who follow him, who trust him, who fellowship with him. God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except for what? The Spirit of God. So do you need to have a relationship with the Spirit of God? How about his presence? Yes. And that's what begins to happen, because people begin to lack the presence of God and they begin to stop thinking dimensionally, because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He begins to nullify it. Let me tell you, he exchanges everything he can with compromise. It's okay. God knows your heart. It's okay. No one will know. It's okay. You love God. Remember, there's going to be a lot of people who say, Lord, I love you. Thank you so much. He's going to say, I don't know you. Why? What do you mean? You said you love me, but you didn't follow me. You still slept with that person. You still stole. You still lied. You still did the works of the flesh. You did things that I asked you not to do, and you ignored them. I don't know you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. See, that's the difference. He says, lawlessness. In other words, there is no law. We live in the law. There is a law in us. It's a law of pleasing God. It's a law of sowing and reaping. It's a law of producing righteous fruit. It's a law of relationship. It's a law of love. Does everybody get this? I'm telling you, there's going to be a lot of people, when the shaking starts shaking even more, that they're realizing they are out of position. But the Lord knows me. Yes, He knows everyone. But do you know Him? Really know Him? Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things. In other words, he judges things whether they're pleasing God or not. It doesn't mean he's judging people. He judges fruit because he knows the outcome of everything. How many times somebody says, man, you're judging me. You're right, I'm judging your fruit. If you want to call that judging you, then so be it. Why? Because you don't want to hang around rotten fruit or be associated with rotten fruit. Associations bring impartations. Amen? But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one because he has a relationship with the Lord. He knows God is judging him all the time. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? That's powerful. Who knows the mind of God that instructs him? In other words, what instructed Jesus? Then he tells us, but we have the mind of what? Christ. The same mind that instructed Jesus is in me and you. Which one you submit to is your choice. Amen? The mind of Christ is dimensional thinking. In Psalm 25, Psalm 25. You know, the word says something very powerful. It says that God's not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. When fear is involved, because Satan's greatest weapon is deception and his power is fear. When fear is involved, when people allow fear to infiltrate their soul, the first fear that usually comes is losing something. That's why an individual who's in fornication is afraid of losing the person. Does everybody understand that? The person who's constantly doing something that's not righteous before God is afraid of not prospering or whatever it may be. Because fear grips that person and they're afraid to let go. Same thing with someone who's abused in a relationship or a job that's bringing financial support. When God is saying, give it up, they're afraid that God won't provide. See, that's not dimensional thinking. That's carnal thinking. Fear always nullifies dimensional thinking. In fact, fear is a guillotine of faith. It brings blindness to a person. The question they're always associating is, what if, 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 what if. Let me tell you, what if is not from God. Just do is from God. What if is from the enemy, because what if always brings reasoning, which is also a guillotine of faith. Does everybody understand this? See, there's a dimensional arena where you and I got to walk in now. It's important. In Psalm 25, in verse 12, would you read it with me? Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who what? Fear him. And he will show them his what? Covenant. In other words, he keeps promises. Let me share with you, dimensional thinking is always the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is reverence, honor, and respect. You always acknowledging him. You're reverencing him, honoring him, and you have a desire to respect him and to please him in everything that you do, in everything you choose, whatever you're doing. You know that he's always there. If that's not there, that's not dimensional thinking. If the fear of the Lord isn't there, that person is L-O-S-T, living outside of salvation's truth and lost. I don't care how long they've said they've known Jesus. They don't know him if that person doesn't have the fear of the Lord. Because what does he say? He says, look at man, I'm going to teach you in the ways to walk. I'm going to prosper you. Your descendants are going to inherit the earth. And the secret is, I'm going to visit you and give you revelation. And I'm going to keep my covenant. Let me tell you, we build on revelation. We build on revelation. He says, my eyes are ever toward the Lord. Hello, that person's always looking toward the Lord. Why? Because he's always dimensionally thinking. He sees through the natural into the spirit. Lord, what do you think about this? Everything he does, is that going to please you or displease you? Is it time or not time? What might I do to please you today? Is there anything I need to do? What do I need to pray? That person always invites the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help me pray. That's dimensional thinking. Because you know that the Holy Spirit is what connects you. Fill me, dress me, and possess me. Hallelujah. His eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the what? Net. So whatever I don't see, he sees. And it could be anything. You'd be driving down the road, praising God, not realizing you're going over the speed limit. Next thing you know, you see a police officer up there, and he's got somebody else pulled over. Oh, and then you look, oh, thank you. It's happened to me more than once. Hallelujah. The fear of the Lord is dimensional thinking. Proverbs 8. Dimensional thinking is always associated not only with the fear of the Lord, but knowing that he's able to do far beyond all you could ever ask or think. That nothing is impossible. All things are working to the good, as long as you're in position. Amen? In verse 12, let's read it together. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. Verse 13, the fear of the Lord is the what? Man, if you don't hate evil, you're not dimensionally thinking. See, we should hate disobedience. We should hate rebellion. It's evil. We should hate it. We should hate the works of the flesh. Man, I hate being in the flesh. Sheesh. That's when you just want to lock yourself up. Don't talk to me. Leave me alone until I can get crucify the flesh, and then we'll talk. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Look at this. Pride and arrogance and the what? Evil way. He says, man, you're to hate pride. We're to hate pride. We're to hate arrogance and the evil way. And the perverse mouth, I what? I hate. Proverbs 9. Just think of how many people wouldn't do the things they did if they had the fear of the Lord with them. Because they're not dimensionally thinking. Proverbs 9, verse 10. It says what? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. Wisdom tells you what to do. And the knowledge of the Holy One is what? Understanding. Look at this. By me, your days will be what? Multiplied, and the years of life will be added to you. Hallelujah. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you will bear it alone. In Proverbs 10, verse 27, it says, the fear of the Lord what? Prolongs days. But the years of the wicked will be what? Shortened. The hope of the righteous will be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked will what? Perish. The way of the Lord is strength for the upright, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. Proverbs 14. Oh, we're gonna get this a good impartation about the fear of the Lord. Because let me tell you, if the fear of the Lord is not there, dimensional thinking isn't. Amen? Then God's not with us. Proverbs 14, verse 27 or 26. Let's speak it together. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. Is it in yourself or in Him? In Him. So if you're more confident in yourself, are you thinking dimensionally? No. And His children will have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a what? Fountain of life. To turn one away from the snares of death. Proverbs 15. In verse 31. Is everybody there? The ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul. But he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. The fear of the Lord is what? Instruction of wisdom. And before honor is humility, humbleness. Proverbs 19. In verse 23, the fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. In other words, evil will not overtake you. I didn't say you wouldn't be tempted, but you would overtake it. Amen? In Psalm 36, dimensional thinking. Psalm 36 and verse 1. Let's read it together. Is everybody there? An oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There's no fear before his eyes. Whoa! So where there's no reverence to God in everything we do, there's no fear of God. And if there's no fear of God, there's no dimensional thinking. In carnal thinking, the end result is death and separation from God. It says there's no fear before his eyes. Verse 2, for he flatters himself in his own eyes when he finds out his iniquity and when he hates. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He devises wickedness on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not abhor evil. In other words, he's still petting evil, still compromising, still agreeing with it. Still agreeing with rebellion and disobedience. In Proverbs 1. Oh, praise God. It's good to hear the pages turning on a Sunday morning. Proverbs 1, verse 28. Let's speak it, please. Then they shall call on me, but I will what? I won't answer them. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Because they what? They hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Oh, snap. But God. You know, my friends all followed you. You know, I used to go to that church. You know, I go to church. But God. Hello? That ain't gonna work. He won't answer because they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel. And despise my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with the full with their own fantasies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. And whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Now, man, what a difference that is, isn't it? Wow. Hebrews chapter 11. You know, dimensional thinking, this may sound strange to you, but is this decision going to lead me to hell or lead me to heaven? Oh, glory. Hebrews 11. Is everybody there? In verse 1. Would you read it with me? Now, faith is what? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because of God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that God, that he what? That he pleased God. But without faith, it is what? Impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek him. Faith is dimensional thinking. It is also spiritual sight. It's having faith in him. Does everybody understand it? Because you know that what's pleasing God? Not pleasing man, but pleasing God. In Philippians chapter 1. That's why Jesus rebuked him many times. Oh, you have what? Little faith. They weren't thinking dimensionally, were they? Oh, glory. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. It says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with what? One mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here is in me. So in this, in other words, he wants us to come in one spirit and one mind. He wants all of his children to become dimensional thinkers. If we're all dimensional thinkers, we think alike. We think alike. You know, the Lord says, I chasten those I love. Amen. What's the purpose of it? To get somebody back into dimensional thinking, get them spiritually positioned. Spiritual position is dimensional thinking. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. Let's read it. But even if our gospel is veiled, the gospel is a message of truth. Amen? It is veiled to those who are what? They're perishing. Whose minds the God of this age has what? Blinded. Who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should what? Shine on them. In other words, in this is so powerful, he's saying the enemy is blocking. He's blocking your mind. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Christ's sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So we know that the God of this age blocks dimensional thinking. You know, people don't even know that they begin to exchange it. That's that influence. They exchange it. They begin to live for self instead of for the Lord. They begin to live for self instead of the Lord. You know, how many of y'all know that? Let me share with you, vitally important. Walking in the Spirit is to become detailed. We become detailed. We're sensitive. We see things. It's like having antennas everywhere. We sense things. You know, I know that in construction, before a building is signed off, you have to go in and make sure that everything is detailed. And let me share with you what is not being detailed in the physical is not being detailed in the spiritual. Hello? Oh, glory. Let's go a little further. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are what? Not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. That word ready means sensitive. You're dimensionally thinking, so you're ready. That's what the word says. Are you ready in season and out? Yeah, I'm dimensionally thinking then. Does everybody get this? We're sensitive. Oh, yeah, I see this coming. Yeah, I know what that person is saying, but what that person is saying is the intent is not there. That person's living out of the mind and not out of the spirit. Totally different. Carnal mind. So we see that there must be warfare. Dimensional thinking is always warfare. Taking dominion is warfare. One of the things the enemy likes to do is get us to agree with something, right? It's like when you go to a doctor, people agree with a doctor right away. Listen, there's a difference between fact and truth. The fact is I have a broken leg, okay? So they got to put a cast on it or whatever. Amen? The truth is I have dominion and say I don't have pain. It may be broke, but as I stand on the truth, my healing will come quicker than according to what they got. Does everybody get it? So I'm not going to agree. I'll understand it. Yeah. Now, there's an area where I won't even go there. You're bipolar. Get behind me. You're deceived. Now, there are certain things that the medical field in the world, they're just plumb dumb. Because they don't know how to deal. They don't think dimensionally, do they? They think carnally, physically. Everything to them is here. The only thing they know how to cure anything is through surgery, medication. Hello? That's their cure. They medicate. Pharmakia. Black magic, witchcraft, and sorcery. That's what it means. It doesn't cure us. What it does is maintain. Look, at you got a headache. You pray for, Lord, I rebuke this headache. Well, praise God. While I'm waiting for that headache to go, I'm going to take some aspirin. Hello? But my dependence is not on the aspirin. I'm going to the source, and I'll use any resource he chooses to give me. But my connection is still the source. Does everybody understand that? That's what allows me to think dimensionally. Hello? And things will come quicker. Your healing comes quicker. It's a proven fact. Even the medical field knows if a person that prays gets healed quicker. Hello? There's got to be warfare. Ephesians 6. What do you say? Cast down thoughts. Don't agree with it, man. Man, they told me when I busted my leg, I wouldn't be able to do anything for 4 months. 3 days, I was dancing. Threw the crutches, boom, and he threw me, praise God. I kept saying no. They kept saying, aren't you in pain? No. I was working on my wife's car one day, and it was cold as could be out there. Man, I was running this wrench, and I was getting a little carnal. All right, a lot of carnal. Man, I was like, trying to get this thing out, and it slipped and slapped me right in the mouth. Tooth went flying. My lip blew up like a balloon. Man, and my tooth was on the ground. I was so angry, I wanted to just smash it. Instead, I thought, I picked it up. I went in the house, I'm bleeding all over the place, spitting blood in the sink, and Mom looks at me and says, Guy, what happened to one? Spitting all over the place, you know. She laughed at me. I said, man, I can't, Lord, this can't happen, man. It's Christmas time, right? 2 days before Christmas, like, who's open? Lord, help me, what do I do? I got $25. That's all I had. Looked up in the old places. Okay, which one? Where? Go to this one. Boom, went to that one. Cost $25. So as I got there, the guy says to me, aren't you in pain? No, because from the moment that happened, I kept saying, no pain in Jesus' name. No pain in Jesus' name. And I was busted all the way in. And the girl says, oh, aren't you in pain? No, I'm not in pain. The doctor comes in and says, oh, yeah. Aren't you in pain? No, I'm not in pain. He said, well, I can't do anything until after Christmas. I'm like, no. And he says, it's going to be about $600. I said, where you took my $25? He said, well, it's going to cost about $600. Well, what'd you take my $25 for to check it? I left there going, Lord, something's not right. What happened? I guess he just wanted me to empty my last $25. He said, are you going to trust me? I got to think dimensionally, yes. Man, I started thinking, okay, you're just going to grow up back right now? Am I going to wake up with a new tooth? Come on. I've heard all these kind of testimonies, people getting gold fillings, all kinds of stuff. Hallelujah. So I get a phone call from this guy. He says, yeah, man. He says, I heard you were trying to find a dentist. Yes. He says, well, I belong to this organization. Whatever, go to this dentist, see if he'll see you. And I go to this dentist, and I'm waiting out there going, oh, I got my little tooth in my little baggie, got it in my pocket. I'm thinking, man, I know, you know, something's got to happen. So the dentist calls me and goes, hey, come on in. And I said, sit down. He goes, let me look at it. He goes, oh, aren't you in pain? I said, no, I'm not in pain. Break that off. He says, whoa. He said, that's going to take some time to build. He said, tomorrow's Christmas Eve and we're not open. And I said, look, I got a tooth right here. Can you do it? He goes, man, it's never worked. Please, take this tooth, do something with it. He looks at the tooth. It was all right. He gets this little thing out, just puts some little glue on there, puts it up there, puts this blue thing on there. And I hear him flossing with it and this and that. And he stops. And he goes and grabs a mirror. He goes, what do you think? I said, hallelujah! I'm not spitting on you. Man, I gave the guy a hug. I said, oh, thank you so much. I said, what are you? He said, nothing. Thank you, Lord. Source, resource. Man, that lasted for about 6 months. Hey, got me through the holidays, you know. I didn't have to spit on nobody or nothing. Then I got it repaired, and praise God. But, you know, that's that area where we got to stop agreeing what they say. We press through until we get. Because we are guaranteed with promises. We're covenant kids. We are of a higher order. But we got to start thinking that way. Stop thinking that we're a lower order when we're a higher order. Amen? Did we do Philippians yet? Yeah, we did. What am I on? Ephesians 6:12. Praise God. We could be here all day with testimonies. Ephesians 6:12, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against voices. Hello? Voices of deception, voices of discouragement, voices of unbelief, voices of flesh and self. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God and kick butt, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Amen? What does he say? Gird yourself. Get dressed with the full armor of God. Look at man, you're in a war. Dimensional thinking says, I need to get dressed with the full armor of God before I go anywhere today. That's dimensional thinking. Dimensional thinking is not, oh, the Lord's got it. That's assumption, and it's called presumptuous sin. There's an area where we turn things into his hands after we've done all that we can, then stand. That means you need to get dressed with the full armor of God every day. Well, I don't think I need to do that. Of course, you don't think dimensionally. That's why you're not doing anything for God. That's why God can't trust you. He can't be consistent. He can't trust you. You can't trust him. He can't trust you. You know, everybody who gets saved and believes, they want to do something for God. If you don't want to do something for God, there's something wrong with you. Hello? Then you're not dimensionally thinking, and you're L-O-S-T. Ephesians chapter 1, while we're here. In verse 3, Ephesians 1:3, let's read it together. Is everybody okay? Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has what? Bless us with every spiritual blessing where? In heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to the what? Adoption. Everyone say, I'm adopted.
Adopted.
As the sons and daughters by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It's his good pleasure. We're all adopted. Believe me, we all came from a dysfunctional family. Adam and Eve were dysfunctional. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:4. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ, for by grace we've been saved, which is his plan, and raised us up together and made us what? Sit together in where? Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's powerful. We sit in heavenly places. We're there right now. If you're dimensionally thinking, that's where you are. In other words, we are joined with Christ. Well, I just don't think that way. It's because you're carnal. You need to get in the Spirit, get filled, get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Hello, that begins to change things. Psalm 103. Look at it. After you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, you need to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Psalm 103. Let's speak it together. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, all my... Oh, there we go again, back to the soul stuff. With all my mind, all my will, all my emotions, all my imaginations, I'm going to bless the Lord. And all that is within me, bless his holy name, bless the Lord, all my soul. And what? Forget not his... Listen, if you're dimensioning thinking, you don't forget the benefits. But the thing is you know that you're spiritually positioned, so those benefits are yours. Who forgives my mistakes, hello, and heals all my diseases, sicknesses, no matter what. So if he's going to heal them all, I'm not going to agree with what the world says I am. I'll understand what's what. Hello? I'll do what I can to assist my complete healing. Who redeems your life from destruction? Oh, praise God. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? Yes. We all need to be renewed, don't we? Amen. It's like Holy Ghost hormones. Colossians chapter 3. Hey, listen, I went to a doctor one day. Me, my wife, and my daughter, and the doctor came in with this sheet going, whoa, what is this? He said, man, you're off the chart, dude. What do you mean I'm off the chart? She says, your testosterone level's that of a 14-year-old. You mean I'm an idiot? No, man. I don't want to go any further than that. But he looked at my wife. That's all I... Snap! He said, poor girl. And then my daughter turned all red. Even her hair. Colossians chapter 3. Woo! Oh, yeah. Colossians 3 verse 1. Let's speak it together. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind, hello, on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. For when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, whether you say you believe or you don't. In which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these. Anger. Anger is associated with bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness. Wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. And don't lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with its deeds. And have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is what? All and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. So you also must do. Now, we're setting our minds on the things above, right? Now I want to close at Mark 16. Hallelujah. Mark 16, verse 16. Here it is. Dimensional thinking. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be what? Condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will what? Cast out devils. Man, you need to get the devils out of your house and out of your temple. And they will speak with new tongues. That's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will what? Recover. In other words, when we lay hands on the sick, they're going to recover. That means they're going to get better. Does that take cooperation? You betcha. Look at the price of everything in the kingdom is to cooperate. Amen? That's the price. What are we going to agree with? What the world says? What religion says? What man says or what God says. Amen? Praise God. Let's start dimensional thinking. Put it into practice. Stay alert. Be consistent. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, wants to come and steal, kill, and destroy. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask again today that this seed that's been imparted in us be protected by the blood of Jesus. That it would grow and bear fruit for your glory. Lord, we remind you of those today who are grieving for loss of loved ones, those who need healing, and those who are calling out on your name, that you would move mightily on the wings of your wind as we agree with your word in Jesus' mighty name.